another episode of Working with Purpose, a show dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. We're glad you joined us today as we're in a series called People this summer. This series will continue on our path to advance a new image of leadership that's based on the metaphor of the agile human body instead of that of a rigid machine. Every other week, we'll be interviewing a person in the region who's a Christian and succeeding with this kind of image of leadership. And also on the opposite weeks, Justin's going to be with me like he is today. And we're going to look at actually thinkers and people who are succeeding in business. You can join this conversation, by the way, anytime online at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective, or you can listen to our podcasts and leave us a review on iTunes. Welcome, Justin.
It's good to be here, Dave.
I had an interesting week, actually.
Tell me more.
I'll tell you what happened. Actually, we were getting action off of our People series, and I had somebody call in, and I met with him this week. But what's really interesting about this is that he had listened to earlier broadcasts, had tuned into this whole thing, and he happens to be an executive in what I'll call a best-in-class organization that works globally. He's local here, but it's a global organization. And from his vantage point and what he does, he gets to look at hundreds of successful businesses each year. That's part of his processes. He was intrigued by the concept of the human body being the master image of organizations today, and the body of Christ, specifically, he's a Christian as a metaphor, to look at this type of organization. What the most interesting thing he said is this, though. He says, in the current climate, this came just from him, quote-wise, he said, we find ourselves today, he finds that the best companies are operating exactly as we're describing. And because there's a lot of activity around him with these companies, and he said, I was just so intrigued with the connection because those are the companies we see are really hitting out of the park. So that's a very practical, right now sort of affirmation.
I'm just glad other people are listening to the show.
I am too. Somebody of clout.
There's someone
nice.
Out there.
I think it's because we've got great people on. We're interviewing. That's why they're tuning in. But anyway, you and I are going to get to talk about a guy that was one of the seminal thinkers for us today, right? David Gray. And he wrote a book called The Connected Company. So let's dive in and talk about him a little bit.
Sure. I do think it's funny. I do want to point out that, you know, the people that we talk about are only named David.
Yes, that's it.
Right? And I think, you know...
Or just rename them David. Whatever their first name is, we'll just call them David.
It's not really even their name. It's all Davids. So we're going to change the name of the series from People to People Named David.
There we go.
And we'll go from there. David Gray, yes, the Connected Company. Loved his work. Like you said, when we kind of started the vision for what is now the David Stark Collective, this was one of the seminal readings that, you know, you and I went through.
Yeah.
The list has since become much longer, but this one is still one of the most important ones, I think, and inspirational ones. I personally have found Gray's work to be really inspiring in terms of how he sees business and this image of leadership, and for all the reasons that we talk about on this show. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in particular, he likes to talk about how the image that we've inherited as leaders and managers today is really from a bygone era, right? The industrial age and how we think about, you know, just uniformity and efficiency is king and things like that. And says, you know what, that's not the right way to think about it, again, in a connected world. You know, we have to think about things differently from the standpoint of how interconnection changes things. And in particular, and we're going to talk about this a lot more, but in essence, he talks a lot about how we've made this shift from the industrial age, which is very mechanistic and very, you know, production-centric, mm-hmm. into a service economy that is much different, right? And I know that's where we're gonna go next. But again, very inspiring to, I think, a lot of leaders, and certainly was for us in the foundation of the David Stark Collective.
Absolutely. And you'll put this in the show notes. The
Indeed, I
company.
Will. Oh,
That'd
yeah.
be great. Oh,
yeah.
good. So I just lead out with his first premise. 80% of the work in America today is service jobs. And he said there's three things that got us there. Number one was product saturation. So when you're interconnected all over the world, you can get products from anywhere. So all of a sudden, all the power is shifted to the buyer, not the seller, right? So there's a huge saturation. How do you differentiate amongst that saturation? The information technology, of course, is a new way to deliver these services in multiple combinations. mobile devices all over the world. And so consequently, the service part of it matters more than the product itself. The product's part of it, but it's all that goes with that product that matters today, right? And so the other one is urbanization. That's 50% of the world at the moment lives in large cities. They predict, he predicts, it's going to go to 70% by 2025. So it's this concentration that allows for you to actually service an area that's huge, mm-hmm. and therefore very profitable for service kind of companies.
You know, when you think about how you get products today or how most people do, you know, Amazon is one of the most popular places to find, you know, whatever product you want. And
yes.
You think about this transition from a industrial age where, you know, you're just going to your local store and picking up a product, where how different it is today and how really, if you think about it, even the process of getting a product is really a service being delivered. You know, Amazon being a great example. I mean, you can get an Amazon Echo, one of those crazy little machines you put in your kitchen,
yes.
that listens to you all the time. And you'd say, hey, I'm out of toilet paper. And all of a sudden, it shows up tomorrow. It's like, well, hopefully sooner than that if you really, really need it.
Really?
Right? Got yeah. Amazon's got like a two-hour window now,
say,
too.
I'm out of leads.
and then they just show up.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. And you kind of think of the entire value chain of that service being delivered, not just everything in Amazon, but, you know, how much FedEx and UPS have to play in this and that service being delivered. Anyway, it's some nerdy fun to think about. But, you know, this is right in my wheelhouse because, gosh darn it, I'm a service designer. That's one of the things that I do.
Yes.
And I read a nice little quip the other day that I like, that products are really just services delivered in the moment.
Yeah.
Let's pause and think about that for a second.
Really?
You know,
grasshopper.
Yeah. But it's really true in that, you know, I'm also a big golf nut. So I think about that. I'm like, well, if I buy a new driver and I put that in play and I hit that off the first tee, you know, what's really happening there? Well, that's allowing me to, it's part of a bigger narrative of what I'm trying to do, right? It's
right.
Not, products aren't an end to themselves. They're just a means to something else. And in this case, it's, you know, enjoying a round of golf or, you know, whatever. But you can think about any product that way, where it's really just, you know, like Gray says, it's, you know, the product is an intermediate step. It's not an end in itself. Even after customers buy a product, they must learn how to use it, maintain it, repair it, and enjoy it.
Yeah.
We're talking about a service here.
You bet.
So it's a whole new way to think about it. And this is why, and, you know, we'll put some of these in our show notes too, but things like journey mapping. You know, if you're a business leader out there and you want to understand the full context of how people use, if you're a product business, how they use your products within that context, think of it more like a service and understand all of that connection. It's going to be a very helpful tool.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, Gray is really great about talking about how products are really just services when you think about it.
You bet. We just want to give you a quick reminder. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Please visit us and join the conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective or listen to our podcast on iTunes. You know, this service organization is really completely different than a product organization in terms of how you think about things. And that's what's why it's such a important first point to make. What Gray points out is that a service-based organization is completely different than a product-based organization because products can be a linear, organized process, right? Where efficiency reigns as king.
Mm-hmm.
You just follow that line, there it is. But a service, on the other hand, has to be contextualized and delivered in a co-creational process with the customers and their changing demands, because their demands are not going to stay the same, right? So even when products are part of that value mix, they're fundamentally in service to delivering a stellar experience,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is fundamentally changing outlook on business. It's actually changing it for me. So I'm a writer of books, and that's a product. But now with my platforms, the book is just the first step in the process of me interacting with people about the ideas and things. So it becomes podcasts. It becomes stuff we do online together in terms of meeting rooms. It becomes online consulting, and then it becomes consulting itself. And so the book itself is only on its way to the delivery of the kind of things I'm trying to do. And that boy, you think completely different about the whole process. In terms of what you're designing, just because it really has to be customer driven now.
Right. You know, and that, you know, I think there's a meta moment here, Dave, too, because I mean, the show that we're doing is essentially a service for our leader or for our audience out there.
That's right.
I mean, and so for you, dear audience, you know, I know you may think that this is just a completely well-oiled machine and then, you know, this is a product that we just stamp out week in, week out. It's not, Dave.
That's right.
Right? I mean, this is, it's contextually relevant, and we might even have a different producer every week.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop us from producing
a
great show.
That's exactly right. And we want to remind them this is just one step in a process, so they can kind of get a hold of us on the collective.
That's right.
We'd love to consult with their companies, by the way.
Their actions change our behavior. And
yes.
Hopefully vice versa.
Yes.
So this, it's all about the collective here, people.
Absolutely.
But, you know, going into that on a serious note, Dave.
Okay.
On a serious note.
Let's go serious.
You know, building growth strategies for service businesses is something I really like to do. Right. So anyone out there that, you know, if you're in a service business and you want to grow, you know, give us a call.
That's right.
You know, we'll help you out. But one of the things that... you know, I like about it is because of the things you mentioned already. It's not just a linear process and stamping out things on a production line. It's complex and it's messy, and there's so many different levers you can pull from, you know, who your customers are and what motivates them, and really getting a deep understanding of needs. Right? It's easier to be other oriented in a service business than in a product business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I like that component too. But I had recently one of my clients hired us to do ride-alongs with their service technicians to really, you know, not only understand it from the perspective of the service delivery point of view, but also to get an understanding and observe customer behavior. So mm-hmm. in that service interaction, you know, instead of just sending out a survey to customers saying, hey, what do you think? Mm-hmm. We are literally stalking them in their houses in a nice and professional way.
I understand.
Taking notes and just really understanding what their pain points are and seeing, you know, the friction points of the service delivery and, of course, the things that go well. But it reminded me how valuable it is because of the insight we got from that.
Yeah.
It was invaluable in the strategy we were able to design for them. And I also thought, man, of all the projects I've ever worked on in my career, a very small minority ever allow us to do this.
Right.
Right. Because, and I think upon reflection, it's because it's not deemed as a really efficient activity, even though it's a very effective one and very valuable one. People think, hey, you know what? You know, there's other ways I could spend money instead of having someone go on a ride along with a technician, but it is extremely valuable.
Yeah. And of course, any salesperson, if they're really going to analyze what's going on out there, they've got to ride along and do this work. It's where
That's
they
right.
find that. Where's the competitive advantage? Where's the value proposition? So it's extremely valuable
mm-hmm.
to be doing. That's great. So
yeah.
Let me talk a little bit more about how service thrives also, Justin. Services thrive in a fast-paced world where innovating and bundling and networks is really the name of the game now. So your minimal viable product, as we've talked about before, is not going to be the end game here. So there's going to be things are going to develop. The service is going to develop. You're going to be bundling stuff together, a new combination of capabilities on an ongoing basis. So there's a unique experience for those customers as they change, as they mature, if you will. And all that requires that the customer actually, before, during, and after the ongoing relationship's got to be empowered to be responsive. So I can't just leave them at the product door like we talked about earlier, but we're really talking about this service that's going to go on and on and on. Hopefully build long-term connectors to the services that we're offering.
That's right. I've got a client right now in the service industry. They're actually in the carpet cleaning biz. They started off with just core services and then expanded to others as customer feedback, you know, gave them more confidence to jump into those worlds. So
yes.
Very good example of what you're talking about.
You bet.
So, folks, we have been talking about David Gray for a good chunk of time. And you know what? We're going to take a break because we need, you know, a drink of water and we need to, you know, get back into the swing of things here.
Yes.
But we're going to be back in a minute. We're going to be discussing more pro tips from David Gray on how to be a better connected company. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Be right back.
You're listening to Working with Purpose, a program dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business, and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. We'll get back to more in a moment. First, I want to remind you of the opportunity to dialogue with David and Justin on these important topics. You can join the conversation, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events and offerings, and more through their website, davidstarkcollective.com. That's davidstarkcollective.com. Or find them on Twitter, @StarkCollective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to Working with Purpose. and will help you go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. They team up together to advise and consult with businesses, organizations, and ministries. Find out more by going to davidstarkcollective.com and opening either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. Now, let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Please visit us and join the conversation at davidstarkcollective.com or find us on Twitter at Stark Collective, or you can listen to us on the podcast at iTunes. Let's jump back in, Justin. We're talking about one of our favorite authors, David Gray, and we're looking specifically at service-oriented companies and service-oriented environment. And also, let's look at how employees close to the service are valuable feedback loops, right? So if you're going to have to stay customer connected, if you're iterating in unique combinations, obviously what becomes critical is not just the center where the leaders, top leaders are, but really where the boundaries are out there where they're actually interacting with customers, right? So that becomes critical in all this. They're the source of new information all the time, right? And so they not only do that, capture that from the customers, but there's also a way to find feedback as new changes happen, the company tries new things, as their needs change and what they're talking about. All of that, of course, is coming from the fringe. And just to kind of give you an idea why this is so important is that the S&P, the average length of time in the 1930s, 1937 or so, that a company would stay on the S&P was 75 years, mm-hmm. right? Today, the average time on the S&P is 15 years. That's how much staying in the innovative process and the iterative process is critical today, because you could be off, voted off the island pretty fast mm-hmm. here, right? So silos and organizations, another PC says, the problem with them is that they don't allow information to be shared across the board. So you can, some organizations have to be siloed, but if I'm in the marketing department or I'm the engineering department, if I don't have a sense of the whole, mm-hmm. then all I'm motivated by is whatever I'm doing. And I'm also disconnected from what this whole thing is, unless the company's being really specific and motivated to give you that. So a lot of silos are coming down now in service organizations so that the whole picture can happen and people can get a whole sense of what's happening in the company.
You know, sticking with that client example that I had before the break, they do a great job of using the service technicians as a feedback loop mechanism. And they do it in a couple of different ways. One is that every technician is jotting down notes of the service and, you know, what went well and what could be improved. And all of that feedback is tallied up and aggregated and used to actually improve the service as a whole down the road. Yeah. And they also automate it too. I mean, they're sending out automatic surveys to customers saying, hey, how would you rate your satisfaction with the service? And it's basically a net promoter score like we've talked about in past shows,
yes.
But fantastic feedback loops that are happening in real time. So just it's fantastic stuff. So Dave, one of the things that Gray has in his book that I thought was a really great quotable is something that he says, when in doubt, go towards the fear.
Tell me what that means.
This was an interesting one to me just because I think this is an interesting one and a parallel between how, humans are like organizations, and organizations really are just, humans in the collective. But I mean, so Gray obviously has this provocative quote, but he talks about the example with Kodak and how he imagined that, just imagine the boardroom at Kodak as they were being disrupted and how a lot of people, I'm sure, surfaced memos around the office saying, you know, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. We can keep trucking.
Yeah.
We're just going to become more efficient.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And because they don't want to go down the scary, risky road mm-hmm. that they know deep down is the road that they would need to if they're going to survive.
Absolutely.
And thrive. But, of course, that didn't necessarily happen that way, and that, history wrote itself. But
it reminds me that when I'm in growth companies, they call me a consultant. But when the companies are starting to go bad, they call me an insultant
mm-hmm.
because you've got to insult people to mm-hmm. say, stop, wake up.
That's right. That's right. The road you're going down isn't scary enough.
Right.
Right. And that's his point. And he basically says, when in doubt, don't look inside your company for answers. Turn around and face the market. Mm. And again, just looking outside and being other oriented into the service interface that we see. You have to be on the edge of it. You can't just be insular.
You bet. And so, and Gray kind of went on here to talk about this co-evolution idea along the way in organizations, and how they change the environment for others. So in other words, as you change, in every situation that you change, then what happens is the market responds. There's a back and forth response to that. So consequently, they'll respond in a certain way. Your competitors definitely are going to respond, right? But also the marketplace does. And all of a sudden it wants something more or gives you other feedback. And so it's back and forth process that's called coevolution. And that allows you to realize a product's never done. A service is always changing.
That's right.
And so if I think that way, then it doesn't surprise me that we have to keep iterating or even reinventing as we go in the processes here.
Hey, just a quick note to those of you that might have just joined us. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Please visit us anytime and join the conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. Find us on Twitter at Stark Collective or listen to our podcast and write us a good review on iTunes. Keep the bad reviews to yourself.
So, Justin, what's this all lead to?
Well, here's the thing, Dave, and this is why we wanted to talk about David Gray and the Connected Company today, is because all of this is about the body metaphor. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all of this leads to, you know, the notion of being flexible, responsive, adaptive, all of the things that we've talked about, that living systems are really the best metaphor for what leadership and business should be today. You know, so, you know, a system is not just the sum of the parts, but it's what... you know, you can't just look at those parts in isolation, which is what the industrial age paradigm gave us. Mm-hmm. It's you have to look at things as a connected whole. And that's what David Gray and the Connected Company does so well. So, again, it's back to this image of the body. And you know what? Gosh darn it, that's also biblical, too.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And so let me go there, because in the preamble to 1 Corinthians 12, this is what Paul says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit just distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, the same God is at work. So there's all these different giftings and workings, but it's all moving towards a whole because it's serving the body as opposed to serving all the individual parts, which is exactly what Gray goes to, saying all of a sudden you've now got employees, vendors, et cetera, they've all got to work towards the whole and not just the individual proficiencies, because a system is what is much bigger than the individual parts because of how they interact, and that and the interaction is what's critical, just like it is in the human body. A kidney by itself, not very useful, right? But a kidney in context of everything that happens in the body is critical in terms of what happens. It's interesting because he quoted Deming, and Deming, of course, was way back when we should have had Deming in the United States, by the way. They kicked him out in Japanese one, right? But he's a great organizational change, actually helped the Japanese take over huge parts of the automobile market after World War II. But he said this, what we need to do is to learn to work in systems, by which I mean that everybody, every team, every division, every platform, every component is not there for the individual profit, not there for their individual profit or recognition, but the contribution to the system as a whole. It's a win-win basis. And this just comes straight out of 1 Corinthians 12. He goes on to say this, teach one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the Spirit, another miraculous powers, another prophecy, another distinguishing between spirits, another speaking in tongues, and still another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The point is that in a body metaphor, just like Deming was saying, is that we're all given different things, but they only make sense relative to the whole. And so when you're thinking about outstanding service, like Gray's telling us, you're thinking about feedback loops, interaction. You're thinking about multiple things coming together to give this fantastic service. It's just like the body is, coming together in all of its systems to deliver whatever it is that the body's purposing at that one moment. And so it just gets right back to this whole point. And I love what Paul does here. He says, the Spirit's driving all of this. And in my opinion, when companies are on their game, they may not say this, but their calling is being worked out for the purpose that they want in the world. Mm-hmm. And so even if they're not mentioning that, many times That's exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing, in my opinion, behind the scenes. And sometimes we have to help them recognize that when we can actually go there. Mm-hmm. We're not always given permission to go there, but when we can go there and say, that's what's really going on here. And so when one suffers, all suffer. When one rejoices, all rejoice. And so is that sense of this entire system kind of giving away to this. So anyway, Gray is a great man. Mm-hmm. We're glad to talk about him today. We're glad that you joined us for this show, Working with Purpose, today. We're going to be continuing with this People series. We're hoping you're enjoying it. This next week, I'm going to be interviewing a man named Jamie Wisely. He's the CEO of GLC Companies. He's an incredibly integrated Christian into his business. He'll be joining us in studio. And actually, Justin's going to be with us, too, so it's going to be great. And so I hope that you'll have a chance to join us here. I just want to remind you that you can get a hold of us at davidstarkcollective.com. You can email me, David, at davidstarkcollective.com, or Twitter at Stark Collective. Don't forget to check us out on iTunes. For Justin Royer, I'm David Stark. We'll see you next week.